In the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, a very familiar scripture, and I covet your prayers and the help of my brethren. I ask you to pray for us. In Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? That thou shouldest not eat. The Bible tells us in another part of the book of Jeremiah, it says, Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. And that my fear is not in thee. We're finding in a generation that you and I are living in today that there is no fear of God. That when God says don't do it, when God says stay away from it, when God says leave it alone, when God says come out from among it, when God says you should not touch it, you should not have it, men travel their souls into such evil sin, continually going against the will of God. Against the will of God. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me. I want to preach from that ninth verse you probably have heard. Many of preachers take the text, but I want to preach on where are you? Where are you? The question, it is a question from the bleeding heart of a Savior that's reaching out to mankind. He's asking the question from the beginning of time unto this very present day. Where are you? It's not so much the question that whether God don't know where you're at or not, but it is much as Him to ask you, do you know where you're at? Do you see where you're at? Do you realize the shape you're in? Do you realize that if you continue on, you're going to go to hell? Do you realize that the more steps you take, come on here, just a little bit right here, if you keep going the way you're going, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to lose your soul in an eternal damnation. You see, the Bible says that God often visited them in the cool of the day, and Adam knew God was about to come by, and so he knew of the hour of the visitation. He was acquainted with the time that God should come by, and fear got the hold of Adam, and he realized, hey mister, I want to tell you something tonight. There is not a more deceit man or woman alive than he that can play with sin and feel no fear to come in the presence of God and throw it in the face of God as though there is no consequence. But I'm here to tell you, there is a consequence unto sin. There is a payment. There is a payment. Man must pay for his evil deeds. Come on here. Help me out, Brother Randy, up here. I got this head cold, and I know it may be just a little loud, but I need to hear myself. I don't want to struggle through this. Hear me tonight. Man has literally forgot. I got a book that was wrote by Ashley Chapel, and he is Clovis Chapel's brother. He wrote in a book called The Tragedies, Great Tragedies of the Bible. In one chapter, I believe it's chapter number 6, he preached on the tragedy of the missing bridegroom. And one scripture often makes reference to in our preaching, when that evil servant forgets himself and he begins to say that my Lord has delayed his coming, and he begins to smite his fellow brethren. I'm telling you, we have lost the meaning that there is a reckoning day to sin. I just feel a weight on my soul to tell the sinner in this house, you ain't gonna get by. You may live it up now. You may enjoy the fruit of sin. You may feel like there's no consequence to it. You can lay out at night. You can run the highways and do what you like. But I'm here to tell you, there's gonna come a day your hand will grip the hand of a God in heaven, and you'll realize, I surround it. I played the role of a fool. While God was a pleading, while God was a calling, while the Holy Ghost was a wooing, I took it for granted. Hear me tonight. I feel like preaching this tonight. The Bible says that the Lord spoke unto Adam. And Adam, he said, where art thou? And he said, I hid myself in the garden. Why did you hide yourself? I hid myself because I was naked. I'm telling you, sir, one man asked me the question one time. He said, Brother Philip, where do you draw the line? And where is the line drawn between the part where man will never be saved again? Where is the line drawn where that man crosses that line where he'll never come back? I'll tell you where that line is. It's when you don't mind sinning in the face of God. It's when you don't mind messing around with sin and prostrating the grace of God and acting as though there is no payment. I'm here to tell you, it's a fool. I said it is a fool that plays with God. Hear me just a little while. Some men has bumped in and went out and bumped in and went out until they made light of the things of God. Come on here. I mean, come on. Hear me tonight just a little bit. I mean, they have come in and they've messed around and shed crocodile tears. Hey, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost to preach here. They messed around and cried on the altars and went back and committed sin and went back to doing what they were doing. I'm here to tell you, Eve, I want you to understand one thing. When God said don't touch it, he means don't touch it. When God says leave it alone, leave it alone. Hey, mister, you know why you keep going back to what you've been doing? You know why you keep running back under the same direction? That evil nature of sin has never been demolished. It's never been destroyed by the power of the blood. Come on here. I knew today, in a time of prayer, praying, I was going to wage war with hell in this building tonight. The enemy says it's the last night. But God says it could be the last night some of you ever wake up. You hear me? There is none so blind than he that is blind to his own sin. Nobody. You hear me? I said nobody is so blind until he that is blind unto his own self. You know why there was hope for Adam? You know why there was restoration? Adam knew he was naked. Adam knew he was outside. Adam knew
us away from God. Mister, if you really caught a glimpse of where you're standing and where you're sitting, how far in the hell you're traveling, it'll shake you to the foundations of your soul. You'd realize tomorrow I may be in hell. Tonight I'm here, but tomorrow I could be in hell.
Hear me. Hear me. I know it. I know it just as well as I know who I am standing here. I'm a coming against flesh and tiredness and everything in the world. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is no need to waste a precious opportunity that you got right now to see yourself. I've had men, Brother Lord, shake my hand and say, "Preacher, I know I'm lost." And I've made the statement. I said, "No, you don't know you're lost. You don't know you are lost. You're not even aware that you're lost. If you was aware of the fact that you was lost and on your way to hell, if you really knew where you was fixing to spend eternity, it'll shake you in your soul. It'll rob you of sleep. It'll rob you of peace. It'll rob you of dinner. It'll rob you of happiness. It'll rob you. But why is it that we're so numb and so empty and so void and no conviction, no remorse? I tell you why it is. I don't see myself. I've sinned so much that I don't even recognize who I am." One man made a statement. He said, "If God did not rush from out of heaven to run to Adam and catch him before he literally fell, completely numb to himself, he said he would have fallen just as though angels would have fallen out of heaven. Because you see, he was a created being. He was a being without sin. He was a being without evil. He was a being that did not know sin." You say, "Preacher, what is that sin? What is that tree?" I'm not here to debate with you what you think it is. It was enough to get God angry. It was enough to get God mad. It was enough to get God out of heaven. I'm here to tell you, we must wake up and realize the only way for hope of redemption and the only way to come out is for me to realize where I'm at. What am I doing? What is it costing me? What's taking place inside of me? How come I can still drink? How come I can still take dope? And it don't faze me. Oh, you say you talk it with your lips, but I'm a preaching to your heart. I said I'm a preaching to your heart. Sister Mary, I've got an alcoholic brother. My daddy's here. My flesh and blood brother. His children are in this meeting tonight. When Forrest gets drunk and I get in his presence, first thing he begins to cry and he says, "I know I'm in bad shape. I know I'm in bad shape." And he tell me, "I know I'm going to hell. I know it. Ain't nobody got to tell me. I know I'm a going to hell. I know I'm a dying loss. I know I'm going to hell without God. But oh, there's something that's gripping me. It's just as soon as the drunk's over, and just as soon as the high's finished, and just as soon as it's all done, I ask him, 'Forrest, will you please come to church? I ain't got time to come to church. I've got to work Sunday. Come on here. Don't you back up on me. I'm here to tell you tonight, we've lost that element that God has given us of being able to see ourselves, to see where we're at. Hey, sir, you know why you don't feel remorseful over the spirit you carry? You don't see the spirit you got. You're not realizing it. I'll tell you what James said. It's like a man that's beholding his face in a glass, but
He forgets what manner of man he is. Right here tonight, the Holy Ghost is holding up a mirror in the shadow of Hosea. He's letting you see where you're at, what you're doing. But you leave here tonight without yielding to God. You forget yourself.
You forget. And so goes another top. And so goes another joint. Hey, I'm preaching totally different than I thought the way I was going. And so goes another feeling. And so goes another pull. So goes another yanking. Why is it, preacher? It's because I can't see myself. I can't see where I'm at. There is none yet so blind than he that cannot behold the horrible, miserable state of which his soul has fallen into. You see, I'm going to tell somebody in this building tonight, you ain't going to go to hell on an accident. You're not even going to leave this world on an accident of thinking, I'm going to heaven. I'm telling you, when breath gets ready to leave your body, if you ain't made contact with the blood, if you ain't made contact with the Savior, there is a hell that will move from beneath. That'll meet you at Hill coming. Hey. I said the Bible said hell from beneath will move. I said hell from beneath will move. It'll move to your direction. It'll move to where you're at. It'll move to where you're sitting. It'll move to reach out and to grab a hold of your soul. What happened in the garden? What took place? Hell moved underneath the garden. Did you hear me? I know it's ringing up here. I'm trying to overlook it and just keep on. Hear me. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Hell moved underneath the feet of a woman. Did you hear me? I feel the Holy Ghost to preach this in a way I never felt to preach it. He moved from underneath him. He rose up and said, "Top's a lie. He's not going to kill you." I feel like saying something to somebody in this building. I'm not a smart man, but I've held the hands of men that are leaving this world that says, "God will never hear me. God will never answer my prayer. I'm lost forever." You ever heard that lie? And as long as there's breath in your body, there's hope. Hell ain't never showed a bigger lie than that one. There's men walking the face of this earth that are just as good in hell as if they were there already. There's a situation, and I'm feeling the Holy Ghost talk to me about, Daddy. It's an old lady. I feel the Holy Ghost to preach. It was an old lady went to our church. Her husband was a wicked, vile man. I'm going to say something right here. I feel the Holy Ghost to say it. Mister, it's not only a can of beer that's holding you. Walking away from that can of beer won't be a problem. Walking away from that can of beer won't be a struggle. Laying down that cigarette won't be a problem to you at all. But you know what your problem is? Is that demon of lust has got a hold of your soul, and it's a robbing you of a mirror of your own heart. It's failing to let you see I'm a miserable soul bound with a chain and ball, dragging it to hell, leaving a line of tracks behind me. That hell is forever my destiny. I'm here to tell you, all it takes is one drop of that red crimson blood. Erase every truck, to break every chain, to loosen it all, and let you go free. Pray for me, brother. There's a lady in our church. One night about 2 o'clock in the morning, she called the house. I've been after her husband for years. The time that she's been there at our church, Brother Hicks, I've been after her husband to come to church. He always told me, I ain't got time. It's amazing how quick we're so ready to get out of church. But let us stay late at the bar. We ain't got a problem with it. Mister, I'm telling you tonight, I'll stake my life on what I'm about to say. And it's a very rare situation. I feel this strongly about it. You're going to keep going until where there'll be no God to hear you. Oh, but that's my baby. It don't matter when God says, I've heard enough and I've had enough. He said, don't Noah pray. Moses prayed, Job prayed, these great men of the Bible, it will not change the judgment of God. I've been in funerals and had funerals where I've watched mamas grab the edge of the coffin. I've watched them grab the shroud as it went by. I've watched them grab the clothes that the baby was holding when the baby died. And I watched them scream as that coffin rode past them. And they hollered, bang, bang my baby! Bang, bang my baby! But that baby wasn't there. That baby was gone. I remember a time when the Holy Ghost said, if you don't come to me, I'll begin to set your barley fields on fire. I'll begin to deal with your soul. Hey, mister, I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't care what these bunch of liberals say. There is a God of vengeance. There is a God of love. But I'm here to tell you, wake up. See where you're at. Look where you're going. You can't keep going. Two o'clock in the morning, would you say, baby? Somewhere there about. The telephone rang. Sister Hayes was on the other end of the line. She said, Brother Noah, I'm sorry we went at church tonight. She said, but we got Robert up here at the hospital. They think he's had a massive heart attack. And I said, oh God. And she said, they're fixing to do emergency surgery in the middle of the night on his heart. They're not only going to do unclog arteries. So there's a valve inside his heart that is messed up. And there years ago they put in a pig valve and said that pig valve has now grown calloused and has broken to pieces like pottery. And said his blood is just circulating in his heart and it's not going through the rest of his body. I jumped up and got ready and went to the hospital. I'm used to working in the hospital. Used to knowing where everything's at around the wards of the hospital. I immediately run through the back into where they were fixing to start surgery. Went back in there, talked to the doctor, and I said, give me 5 minutes with him. Give me 5 minutes with him. That's all I need. 5 minutes is all I need with him. And the doctor looked at me and he said, you got 5 minutes. But I'm telling you, we got a dead man if you don't hurry. I went in there and I said, Mr. Hayes, will you wake up and hear me? I said, I'm talking to you. I said, hey, I'm telling you, Charles Spurgeon made this statement. He said, the time of man's life is like that of hot wax. If we're ever to make an image, we must make it while it's hot. If we don't make it, though when it is cold, no image, no image shall be made. Hey, preacher, why are you preaching so hot? Why are you dealing with me so plain? I tell you that God's burning love of fire and God's holy conviction is reaching your soul. I'm trying to stamp the cross all over you. I'm trying to stamp the cross of the blood. There's hope. There's redemption. You must hear God. I went in there. I couldn't arouse him. The doctor said, no more. You got to go out. I dropped my head and I turned to walk out, Brother Bailey. When I walked out, I sat in that waiting room. 1 hour went by. 2 hours went by. 3 hours went by. 4 hours went by. And on the fifth hour, a wore out doctor comes walking into the waiting room. He said, we got it fixed. But I don't know if he's going to live or not. I began to pray, God. They said, he ain't going to wake up. I said, but you can wake him up. I said, you can wake him up. I began to pray. My church began to pray. Sister Hayes, that dear woman of God, when she died, Sister Mary left this world. The morning I was to preach her funeral, that woman, and pardon my expression if you think it's too plain, that woman lived on here on hell, here on this earth, living with that man. I mean to tell you, 91 years old with filthy magazines, when we had bought their house, a man in my church buys real estate property when we bought his house, and he asked me if I'd go in and give him a price on remodeling the house. We went in as the men of the church, tore out walls, tore off sheetrock, ripped out the ceiling and everything. Filthy magazines and pictures of women in the local area. Hear me tonight. You say, preacher, that's vile. That's wicked. Yes, it is. But it doesn't matter if it's a 90-year-old man. It doesn't matter if it's a 20-year-old boy. That demon's out for keep. That demon's out for blood. It's out to take you under. I tell you, it's out to wrap a chain around your soul and make you a prisoner for eternity. But I'm telling you tonight, as I must say again, there was a cross that was resurrected on an 18-foot hill that's dripping blood. I said it's a dripping red blood to break every chain. Pause just a moment. You know why a lot of sinners don't pray? I'm going to look across this building at preachers. And I'm looking across this building at preachers' wives. I'm looking across this building at tongue-talking folks. You're not even moved by the awfulness of sin. We're stirred about it when they got our name and our address. When it's my boy that's paying $2 for a flick down at the local store. When it's my girl that's saying she's got feelings for another girl. When it's my boy that's looking at me saying, Daddy, I like him. To make a long story short, I went to that place a few days after the surgery. My father went in there with me. Am I telling it right? I walked to the bedside. Ain't no time to play. Ain't no time to mess around. I looked at him and I said, Mr. Hayes, I said, this is Brother Noah. You know who I am. I said, I want to tell you something, sir. I know some of you liberals. I know some of you liberals. That's why some of your children ain't saved and ain't care nothing about being saved. You don't feel the urgency of eternity. I walked in that room and I said, Mr. Hayes, this is Brother Noah. I said, my father's here with me. I'm here to pray for you. But before I pray, I'm here to tell you you're going to hell. You're fixing to go to hell. I said, the doctor said, you ain't going to live. You ain't going to come out of here. And I said, if you leave like you're out right now, I said, you're going to go to hell from where you're laying. Oh, we want to play around and mess around the edge. And we don't want to deal with the fact that they're going to go to hell. But oh, don't scare them, preacher. One black preacher said, I'd rather have scared religion than I had no religion at all. If it's scared religion to get me to heaven, scare me in there. Tell me of the horribleness of sin. Tell me of the blackness of hell. Tell me the darkness of eternity. Whatever it takes,
tonight. If there's ever been a time we wake up, wake up now!
I walked in that room, to make a long story short, I walked in that room and I said, "Mr. Hayes, I'm going to pray for you." And with a tube stuck down his throat and one up his nose and one and two and the coming out of his side, hands tied to the bed. I believe, Daddy, bear me witness, if he got his hands off that bed and could have grabbed me, he'd have pulled my arm. He'd have jerked me down in that bed. His mouth opened up and he bit on that tube as though he was going to bite it in half and begin to suck his head and growl like a dog. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "Leave him alone." Leave him alone. I quit praying. I walked out that door. God said, "He'll not live. He's not rejected you. He's not rejected the... you coming to pray for him." But he told me no. Am I telling it right? My daddy and I walked out of that room. Come on up here, Daddy. My daddy walked out of that room and he told me, he said, "My God, son," he said, "that's the horriblest picture you'll ever see of how sin will grip a man. Even in his dying death, he does not even see his need. Preacher, what brings a man to that state? He keeps eating of the tree that God says, leave alone. He keeps messing with the thing that God says, leave alone." There's some people, because they can cry, they think it's their hope. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible said concerning Esau, he said, that profane person, he said, "Wake up! Don't you fall in the same shape." You know who that profane person is? He that can mess around with the grace of God and think he can sin and come back whenever he wants. Drag the name of Christ through the drags of this world and come up and say, "Take me now, God." I'm telling you, it's a rude day. It's awakening day when God will not hear. Holy Ghost, will you please settle in this house among your people to shake us? Preacher, brethren, I'm going to say something right here. You can fall out with me if you want to. I don't care how much of the Bible you know. If knowing that Bible makes you a great man, then Alexander Scarby ought to be able to quote it from prime worship back. Vance Havner made the statement. He said, "It's not so much, sir, whether you know the book or not, as how the book went through you. As the book went through you." I can quote it. I can tell you what it's all about. I can tell you when that preacher gets out of line. I can tell you when he stepped over the boundary. But how much of that book has went through you? How much of that book has brought you on your knees before God? Oh! 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 How much of it, when you read about the blood, does it make you crumble? Does it make you shake? Does it make you cry? Does it make you weep? My God, get a hold of us! Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. Hear me tonight. Eve, what made you do it? Something moved up underneath me. Something moved up underneath me and began to converse with me and say, "You can do it. God's not going to do nothing to you. I know you're going to fall out with me. I got all the patience in the world for those that come in and know nothing about the blood of Christ. Know nothing about the doctrine of holiness. I got all the time in the world to work with him and to work with her. But mister, when you have licked up the fountain of God around that altar, ma'am, you know what it's like to stand underneath that glory, and now you act as though you know nothing of it. I got an uncle, my daddy. I'll tell you this right here. Years ago, I believe I told it last year in this meeting, not to tell it all again. Very few people in my ministry have I ever felt God deal with me and say, no, I'm not moving for them. I must tell you, we as the Pentecostal Holiness Movement, we have literally lied to people that we preach to. There is a cutting off day. There is a cutting off day. There is a day when God says, I've had enough. No, I'm not going to kill you. No, I'm not going to kill you. One man said one time, it would be better if I were dead and already in my punishment than to live here and see the beauty of God and know I once had a chance to hold it and now it's out of my reach. I'm reaching for somebody. God, for 2 days, has put this message on my heart. And I'm telling you in this building tonight, mister, you may want to take a chance to pray, but it may never come. The longer you play with God, I feel to tell somebody in this building, your mind and knowledge has deceived you to the opportunity of prayer. It has deceived you to the opportunity of prayer. Eve, one man said, she became the mother of all sin. She became the mother of shame. When Eve turned and heard that serpent, as it said, no evil's going to come. It's not anything to do evil. Just because you wake up after that drunk, that's another day of mercy. After you come out of that high, it's another day of mercy. It's another day of opportunity. One man said one time, D.L. Moody wrote in a book, he said, God had rent the heavens, dropped out of the starry skies, ran through the universe, and began to walk up and down in the garden and begin to scream, Adam! Adam! Where are you? It said he that knew no sin, knew no vow, knew no evil, knew no blackness. He come looking for the black man. He come looking for the dark heart. He come looking for the drowned soul. He said if all in reality should be done, it should be that it should have been the fugitive running through the garden screaming, God, where did you go? God, why'd you leave me? I'm telling you, mister, it's God walking these aisles. I'm preaching to you tonight. You better come home. You better run while you can. Stand with me. Stand with me all over this building. Talmud said, sin may open up as bright as the morning, but when she ends, she'll be black as midnight.
Eve, please hear me. Adam, you done just exactly what human-minded men do. The first thing you thought you could do was sew fig leaves together and hide it. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost say this. I got a lot of respect for a man. He's not going to get saved. He don't want to know nothing about the blood. Brother Hicks, he don't want to know nothing about the cross. I got a lot of respect for him. When he's slopping drunk and on a high, he don't come dragging in among our precious little children and paint the evils of this world in their eyes. I'm not talking to you. Well, preacher, this is where he needs to be if he's interested. If he's interested. Preacher, I don't agree with that. I don't care what you agree with. I'm telling you right here in this building tonight, there's some evils our children don't need to see. And if you once knew the goodness of God and you had any ounce of the fear of God in you, you'd look at that one child and say, don't do what I'm doing. Don't do what I'm doing. Don't do what I'm doing. I got a woman was at my church. Backslid. After 22 years of holiness. Tongue talking. Holy Ghost filled. Give out messages until the hair stand on your head. The Spirit of God use her. 2 months before she went to backslide. One night I was in church. We was having a Jericho march. Sound booth over there in the corner. She went to walking around that way the whole church did. She come around that sound booth. She come around that sound booth. The Holy Ghost spoke to me. I'm fixing to cross some thread lines right here. She's divorced. Husband a drug addict, alcoholic. She walked across that sound booth, heading up that aisle, Sister Mary, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Said she's made plans to go meet another man. I didn't know anything about it. But God spoke to me. He said, you tell her that I said if she goes, she'll go without me and without my Holy Ghost. Come on here. I said, come on here. There's some folks in this building, just because your hands got filthy with sin, you start winking at it. They want to call preachers like us unmerciful. No, I got all the mercy in the world to work with somebody. But I don't want enough of it to where it makes me slop and soppy that I don't see the frustration of God against sin. I'm no better than Charles Stanley and the rest of them out there. I'm no better than all the rest of them that are out there on that television rotten stuff that's telling them you can stay saved and do whatever you like. You can't stay saved and do whatever you want. I didn't call her out. I didn't call her out that night, did I? I just walked right straight to the pulpit. I said, somebody in this building, you made plans to go meet somebody, but the Holy Ghost said to tell you, you're going to go, but you'll go without Him and without His Holy Ghost. And all come down, Sister Bailey. She had met Him in a chat room on the internet. There ain't no such person full of the Holy Ghost gets in the internet chat room. I'm going to step on something else right here. Preacher, you against the internet? No, sir. I know there's some that has to deal with it on your job. But when it becomes your pastime, when it becomes your play toy, when it becomes something you mess with, can a man take fire in his own bosom and his clothes not be burned? No! No! You can't do it! Sin's bigger than you are. It's been around longer than you have. You can't master it. It'll master you. Where are you? Where are you? Adam, I know where you're hid at. But do you know where you're hid at? The eyes of the Lord are roaming to and fro in this earth, beholding the good and the evil. He knows where you're at. But the question is, do you know where you're at? Do you feel yourself on that road to hell? I fear, and I don't mean to call names in here just to be calling names, people I have great confidence in. Sister Mary, have a world of confidence in you, says. Had it for years. But I fear in 10 years that God should carry. I wonder when a preacher does preach about hell, what kind of effect are we going to have? If what I'm preaching tonight is not even stirring the hearts of our elders, how must it stir the hearts of our children? I like to read. I'm not a very smart man. Vance Havner, in a book called Pepper and Salt, went to an acid factory, Brother Hicks, and he asked a question to the man that was turning him through the factory. He said, "Sir," he said, "where does your most casualties take place at?" He says, "Is it in the hands of them new young ones that are coming on? Is it in their hands because they don't know how to handle it?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "I'll tell you where the casualties are that reign high in this factory." He said, "It's among the elder ones that's been here for years." He said, "It's because they thought they've been around it so long they can handle it whichever they want, whichever way they like." There's some of you in this building, you may be of age, but that don't stop your eyes from watering. You may not be able to run around this church like you used to, but it don't stop you from weeping for the lost men and women. You hear me? I'm not a hard man. I love souls. I love men's souls. But I'm telling folks in this building tonight, not everybody in this building's ready to go to heaven. And God's sending a message, and He's asking, "Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" Eve, was it worth it? Ask for the first funeral. It's the horrible mistake of a bitter self-will sin that says, "I'm going to do it my way. I don't need you to tell me what to do." Grew up in Cain. Cain says, "Abel, you think you're better than me, don't you?" So that same spirit that said, "I can eat it, I don't care what you say," he eats it. He bites it. And when he comes to himself, he's holding a bloody club in his hand. And he's saying, "Who am I? Who am I?" So since he forgot his identity of who he was, God visited him. And he said, "Cain, where's Abel?" And he said, "Am I his brother keeper?" He forgot automatically. "Where's my brother? Who is my brother?" So God said, "Since you forgot who he was, I'm going to lay a mark on you. And you'll never forget who you are. And every time you look in the mirror, you're going to see first murderer. First murderer. Job said in Job 31:14, come to the piano, Sister Gwen, quickly. What then shall I do when God rises up? When He visiteth, what shall I answer Him? What am I going to say when God says, why'd you ignore me the night I preached to you? As sin is first pleasing, then it grows easy, then delightful, then frequent, then habitual, then confirmed. Then is that man impenitent, then obstinate, unreasonable. Then he is resolved never to repent. And then he is forever ruined. Mister, I want to tell you something, ma'am, tonight. That the confines of this Bible and the anointed preaching will not make you pray tonight. I must tell you, a tragic accident will not make you pray then. Where's my brother that prayed the other night? He stood up and told, he said he had a car accident and he should have woke up then. Come here, friend. Had a car accident. I don't even know how deep or how bad the car accident was. He said, I should have woke up then, but I reckon now it's finally kicked in on me. The providence of God's mercy. God's greatness. Our brother back there testified to the goodness of God. You're here tonight only because God loves you. You're here tonight. Oh, I just thought I'd go just to go and see everybody. No, you didn't. God's not haphazard. You couldn't have got at it if you wanted to. God said, I've got something I need to tell you. And He overrides you and says, you're hearing tonight. See, because mister, ma'am, you ain't going to go to hell all of a sudden and just wake up and say, how did I get here? You're going to hold your hand down and say, oh, that awfulness of sin. You're going to pick up that foot and you're going to say, my God, it's the blood of Calvary. And then all of a sudden, your mind's going to race back. It's going to go behind you. And all of a sudden, you're going to see yesteryears. And all you see is red footprints. But they were all on the bottom of your feet and never on your heart. All on the bottom of your feet and never on your heart. So when God asked, Adam, where are you? It wasn't for God to find Adam. It was for Adam to see Adam. So Adam thought he could do what any other man could do. Sew fig leaves together and try to hide himself. But mister, ma'am, God penetrates through the smile. He penetrates past the long hair, long sleeves. He looks beyond it all. And He says, if I look in there and I don't see the blood, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. I don't care if your hair's so long it drags the tracks out in the sand. If the blood's never been applied, it'll do you no good. It'll do you no good. I feel the Lord. Will you help me pray? Why must you wait? I'd like tonight for the Holy Ghost to do the visiting. I don't want nobody. Can I do that? Nobody go to anybody unless you feel divinely led of the Holy Ghost to do it. Tonight, mister, you must make a choice for yourself. You must make a choice for where you're going. The pleasures of sin are but for a season, and then it's over. Come on and sing. I've sought God hard over this preaching. I pleaded, and it's shaken in my soul.
That we might live, He shed His blood.
before anybody prays.
So that he
preacher, brother,
could
I'm going to need you in these altars. Not on your knees. I'm going to need you in these altars.
The sacrifice for
you're here tonight.
And
you're not covered by the blood of Jesus. On the last night of this meeting, why don't you make a choice? Step out that pew where you're at. Young girl, young boy, you've been having dreams in the middle of the night, young man. You've seen yourself in the presence of God. You want God to take them dreams away. You want God to take that feeling out of your heart. You're drowning it with worldly care. Get caught up in everything there is, trying to snuff it out. But you can't quiet that voice. It's a voice that cannot be shut. It's a voice that cannot be ignored. It's a voice that must be answered. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? Are you going to burn one more night? You going to walk away one more night? Why don't you? I don't know. I'm not a prophet. But I feel a broke down man on the inside. I feel a broke down man. You made these words, these statements. I'm not what I used to be. I can't handle it like I used to could. I'm breaking down. Before you're completely broke to pieces, why don't you come and let Calvary rebuild you? Why don't you come and let Calvary make you all over again? Come on. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost conviction in this building tonight. Young man, I'd rise out of that pew. I'd rise. I feel an urgency to tell somebody, rise to God. I feel an urgency. Tell somebody to pray. Forget my knowledge. Forget who I am. Forget where I've been. I must come to know God. I must come to know Him. I'm telling you, I'm not a prophet, but I feel an urgency to tell somebody to know Him.
Don't lose your view.
Come. Come know Him. That's all right. They prayed and got saved this yesterday and this morning. That's fine. I'm talking to you, sir. I'm talking to you, ma'am, that's lost. Not these that's already prayed and got under the blood. I'm talking to you. Will you come? I'm telling you, I don't know hardly anybody in this building. The Holy Ghost knows that. You hear me? I said the Holy Ghost knows that. I don't hardly know who you are. I may have met you last year. I may have met you for the first time this year. But I don't make a hill of beans right now with God. Right now the opportunity is saying come. The opportunity is saying come. Do you see where you're at? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Don't sit down. I'm not finished yet. Reverence the Holy Ghost. Hear me. You're in this building tonight. I don't never do this. Never. 21 years of preaching, I can probably put on 3 fingers of how many times I've done this. Preacher, I know where I'm at. I know I'm going to hell. I feel so affirmed in what I'm preaching tonight. If you know you're going to hell, why haven't you moved to Calvary yet? Say, preacher, I don't feel the tug that I need to feel to make me pray. I'm telling you, the slightest glance of God would make me break. And if they wasn't no hope, and if they wasn't a possibility, God would have never preached to you tonight. I'm coming against hell right now. I said, I'm coming against hell right now. I'm coming against it. Ma'am, you're at a crossroads. Right there in the white blouse. Right back there in the back. I don't know her name. Sorry. The Holy Ghost showed me you're at a crossroads. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in this world. Tonight you're broken on the inside. I know I need help. I felt the Holy Ghost twice deal with my heart. Ask you. Do you know where you are? Preacher, I got problems. There's not one problem too great that you can't find help with right here at this altar. I've often asked a question. God, whatever it takes to get me, don't let me go to hell. But when God starts a reaching, God starts a pulling, will we respond to Him? Won't you slip your hand up if you say, preacher, I know where I'm at. I know exactly where I'm at. Won't you slip your hand up? Nobody's going to make me do anything. If you can't feel the love of God in this preaching, I'm sorry. I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't have to stay the way you are. It's the same as God left heaven to come catch Adam and Eve. He done it 2,000 years ago to come catch you. And He's here to stop you tonight. I said He's here to stop you tonight. Young man, you've been pricked. You've been stirred. Your attention right now is focused toward the cross. I beg you don't leave this building tonight without making acquaintance with Him. It's nothing to laugh at no more. It's nothing to take light of. Where are you? Father in heaven, I preached your gospel in this building as you spoke to my soul. I plead with you to help me tonight. Your Spirit's come and done its work. It's doing its work right now. I ask you, God, to help us. If we're not saying the right words that it needs to be said, take this stumbling tongue of mine and make it say the right word. And I'm asking, Lamb of God, that you'd move some way, somehow, and deal with souls right now across this building of every lost individual in this house. I know what you spoke to me, God. And I'm asking you to work. While they play and no singing, I want you to hear this gospel right here one more time. One man told me, he said, preacher, you don't need to make sinners wait. A long altar call will soon get monotonous. And I asked him, I said, sir, what are you trying to do, run cattle or reach for men's souls? I'm not reaching for you. The Gospels are reaching for you. Tomorrow, all of a sudden it sinks in. On you, and what a horrible, horrible, terrible price you paid for a questionable amount of pleasure. It's like giving the Fort Knox for a candy bar, the Rockies for an anthill, the morning sun for the remnant of a candle. It's a bad deal, sir. Bad deal. But God's got a better deal. One man said, God don't got no deal. He does. He gave his best deal on Calvary. And he says, if you'll come take it, it'll purchase your eternity. I wouldn't embarrass you or hurt you. But I've got a brother, Daddy, that's in the grave today. I remember the Holy Ghost pleading with him. I trust and pray before Larry got killed, before that Mexican murdered him. I pray that 5 minutes, what did it say, 5 minutes he lived? 3 minutes he lived. My brother held him in his arms as his breath left his body. Every time Forrest gets drunk, he says, Larry was mumbling something. I don't know what it is. But I'm buying all the hope I can. Larry prayed before he left here. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing. There's men in hell right now that say, I'll take that opportunity. I won't be ashamed to step out in front of anybody and everybody and say, I want to come pray. I want to come pray. I want to come pray. I want to come. I'm going to ask from that back wall to the front. If you want to come when the church comes, come with them. We just opened up the altar on the first chance for you to give you plenty of place to pick to pray. But if you want to come when the rest comes, I beckon you to come. Everyone that will. Tonight's the last night. Let's don't close this meeting out in a hurry. Let's come from that back wall all the way up to the front. Say, God, I'm here to talk to you. I want to check in and make sure I know where I'm at. Sure, I want to make sure that I know who I am. God, help us tonight. Everyone that will. Everyone that will.